Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Religion would not even be an issue except for the Bible.
Before we get carried away, let's read our Bibles now.
I can assure you there are millions of Christians who did not take parts of the Bible literally.
Forfeit all claims to your own authority. Stand without apology on the only authority that matters, which is the authority of God Himself entrusted to us in His Word.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, question over here.
So my question to you, because you're such an inspiration to Catholicism, Schnalls, what advice would you give to somebody who's trying to spread the love of the Eucharist to the world?
I'm sorry, the love of the what? The love of the who? This is Wretched Radio. That is a questioner at an event that featured Roman Catholic Michael Knowles and a Protestant Charlie Kirk. He would like to start a podcast to share the love of the Eucharist with the world. In fairness, in the mind of the Roman Catholic, they would say, well, that's the same thing as saying sharing the love of Christ. The Protestant should protest and say, no, you're introducing elements. The bread and the wine, they represent the body and blood, but they don't actually become the body and blood, which is, of course, Roman Catholic dogma, which is why this young man would say he wants to share the love of the Eucharist, because you get to consume Christ when you, well, they teach, you get to consume Christ when you go to communion at a Roman Catholic church. After, of course, the priest summons the second person of the Trinity from his throne to come down to be re-sacrificed on an altar. A Protestant would say, that is a bridge way too far, because the elements aren't Christ. They're elements. It's bread. It's wine. Or, of course, if you're a Baptist, it is grape juice. The conversation that ensued moved away from the Eucharist for the most part, but Charlie Kirk started to engage Michael Knowles. You be the judge as to how they did. I thought there were some things that Charlie Kirk, you know, that dude, you want to wrangle with him, you're looking for getting some bruises. And some of the things that he said, I was like, well done, son. On the other hand, we need to remember the Roman Catholic Church and their attitude toward us. This was not brought up in the conversation, but the reality is the Roman Catholic Church believes that those of us who believe in grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, as codified in Roman Catholic dogma in the middle of the 16th century at the Council of Trent, says we're anathema. The conversation also veered into the office of the papacy, for which I'm grateful, and Charlie Kirk, he wasn't fond of the Pope because he's a Marxist. I think there's other reasons that we shouldn't be fond of the Pope.
I think probably the papacy is the biggest hoax ever foisted upon the world in the name of Christianity. This is an arrogant idolatry. It's an arrogant, arrogant idolatry. A horrible thing. As J.C. Ryle said, a gigantic system of church worship, sacrament worship, Mary worship, saint worship, image worship, relic worship, priest worship, and pope worship. A huge organized idolatry. It seduces. It's satanic. True church has nothing to do with it. It is Christless. The head of the church, as I said to you a couple of weeks ago when we were going through this to start with, is none other than Christ. Colossians 1:18, he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. That's what I was saying this morning. Diminish Christ and you lift up the ministers. Exalt Christ and the ministers disappear.
That was pretty clear. That was pretty clear. Wish Charlie hadn't ceded ground by saying that he's grateful for Roman Catholic influence in society. I can affirm that. But there is a very wide river. It's the Tiber between the Vatican and Protestantism. It's grace alone versus works. It is a system of work righteousness that Rome has believed really for centuries, and especially at the Council of Trent, when they adamantly responded to the reformers and said, you're anathema if you believe in grace alone. More than that, though, historically, the Pope, he's been considered by every single Protestant reformer, every single Puritan, And I would say every solid guy pretty much till today would say, actually, the Pope isn't just a Marxist. He's the Antichrist, or at least the office of the papacy is Antichrist. Charlie Kirk was not happy with the Pope because he believes he's a Marxist who doesn't have very good Catholic dogma, but he didn't denounce the papacy. And he didn't make a break from Rome, which, by the way, Rome made just as much as Protestants made with Catholics, Catholics made against Protestants. I would love to say we're one big happy family, but evangelicals and Catholics are not together. There are so many issues. It's not just the office of the papacy. Mariology, it is the sacraments, the Eucharist. That is a massive issue. Praying to saints, purgatory, merits and treasures that can be purchased. These are all issues that I'm afraid divide. And while Charlie, I thought, got some nice jabs in, if you will, I understand he had to be polite because of the context of this conversation and presentation, although I don't recall another time when Charlie ever put gloves on to deal with somebody with whom he disagreed. Nevertheless, I wish that he had been much clearer and said, look, Michael, I like you. I'm so glad for your fight for life, your traditional marriage stance. It is so admirable. But my friend, as you know, for centuries, there's been a divide between Protestants and Catholics, and it's not just the papacy. The doctrine of justification is really the hinge on which the Protestant Reformation swung. Swing, swang, swung. How do you get saved? Are you made righteous, declared righteous, or are you becoming righteous? Which, by the way, is an exploration that we will do later this week when we take a deeper dive into Eastern Orthodoxy. I finally found a book that deals with Eastern Orthodox dogma that will help us understand, first of all, why it is so hard to understand Eastern Orthodox. Second of all, what is their position on the doctrine of justification? Let us listen to the conversation that ensued between Charlie Kirk and Michael Knowles.
Okay, well, you know, that's wonderful that you're going to do that. I think it's great. Most of the time people say, Michael, I want to start a podcast. What's your advice? And my advice is don't, because too many people have them. And I think every white man under the age of 75 has one now, and it's by law or something. So.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
You know, it's funny that he brought up podcasts.
Oh, really?
Tell me again about the email that you sent. Come on. This is big.
I'm trying. We have, four or five new podcasts at Fortis Institute. And in just 13, 14 weeks that they've been released and out, they're now all in the top 10% of all podcasts in the world.
How many podcasts are there in the world?
Almost 4 million.
This is so encouraging. Yeah. These podcasts are so good. And you're thinking, whoo, they must be expensive. Jimmy, why am I talking to you like you're Don Pardo? Tell everybody how much the podcast costs to listen to at FortisPlus.org.
For the low, low price of $0.
That's so affordable.
But this is the first time in memory that someone has proposed some new content project where I've thought, great, you should do that. That's really good. And my advice is, you should recite the St. Thomas Aquinas prayer that he would have before study or writing or speaking for God to illumine his darkened mind. And then what you should do is, pray a little bit more. Praying is the first resort, not the last resort. And then this is something, Charlie, that, we mackerel snappers, we get. We don't need to reinvent the wheel every year. We got 2,000 years of people who are much smarter than you and I.
Now, that much I'd agree with. But who has access to those writings, to those councils, to former teachings? And the answer is we all do, Catholics and Protestants alike. The question, of course, is what level do we esteem those external writings? In other words, how much do we value? How much do we trust? How much do we take at face value what those writings teach versus the Bible? And so what is going to be revealed now, of course, is Michael Knowles believes that there is a repository of dogma that exists only inside of the Roman Catholic Church, courtesy of the Magisterium. So go read it and you're going to know the truth. Now, at that moment, Charlie Kirk should have jumped up and said, hold on, sola scriptura.
Thought this out, we've debated these questions. So if you just bring that, if you convey that, you know, I'm trying to sell Charlie on this right now. I know I'm answering you, but I'm really speaking to Charlie. If you just do that, that's all you're doing. You're just telling the story. You're telling the greatest story ever told. And you have the deposit of faith and you have the magisterium behind you. It is as a hermeneutic of interpretation.
Massive Protestant Catholic distinction.
To do that, you know, and do that in sincerity and do that with the best of your effort. And I think it'll be wonderful.
As an evangelical who loves Catholics, I love that you're doing it. But let me just edit what
here's
you say.
Here's the but. Here's the
no,
but.
No, it's a big one. You didn't catch it, Michael. Yeah. Is that your goal should be to bring people to Jesus, not Catholicism.
Oh, hold on. No. What's the difference?
What's the difference? How much time do you have?
Hold on.
I'm not saying that they're contradictory, but your goal should not be to bring people.
No. They are contradictory because Roman Catholic dogma teaches you have got to embrace all of Roman Catholic dogma and be in the Roman Catholic system if you want that direct highway to heaven. Otherwise, you have lesser light, you have lesser knowledge. And while you can make it to heaven, which has turned into universalism because they believe that is also true for Muslims and any other world religion, it is the Roman Catholic Church that is the bright light, that is the one that knows the fullness of truth. How would you respond? Next on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, here at Fortis Institute, we've got a lot going on. We've got our latest webinar coming up January 20th with Virgil Walker, where he and Todd will discuss the disturbing theology of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That's going on January 20th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Stay tuned for more details. Also, coming up February 7th, The Better Way debuts with Libby Glosson. And trust me, ladies, you don't want to miss this. And what else is happening here at Fortis Institute? Well, we just learned that all of our brand new podcasts that began just in October of last year have come in ranked in the top 10% of all podcasts in the entire world. And that's happened only because of your support. We thank you for all of the support that you've shown us here at Fortis Institute. And if you would like to support us even further by joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, well, then we would welcome you with open arms. Find out more about what that would look like in your life by logging on right now to fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
What good is having a bank account with millions of dollars if you never use it? Well, the same is true with theology. Having Bible knowledge without applying it to your life is like having wealth you never spend. That's why we created Integrated with Dr. John Kreitz.
Every single person in the church is a ministry opportunity. You don't have to have a job to be engaging in ministry. You just have to have a heart to be a blessing to your brothers and sisters in the church. Stir them up and encourage them.
Stop letting powerful biblical truths sit idle in your mind. Let Dr. John Kreitz show you how to integrate God's word into every area of your life. Integrated, a new production from Fortis Institute. It's available now on Fortis Plus and all major podcast platforms. It's produced by Fortis Institute, and you can learn more about Dr. John Kreitz and Integrated at fortisinstitute.org.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Rome lived from AD 30 to 100, was a student of the Apostle Peter, and served as the Bishop of Rome. He wrote a letter to the troubled church in Corinth, warning against envy and immorality. emphasizing humility and repentance. His letter continued to be read during worship services for 80 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Am I a Christian if I don't believe in Mariology?
Well, we're talking about the fullness of the truth. You know?
This is Wretched Radio. That was the voice of Charlie Kirk asking, as a Protestant, do I get to go to heaven if I do not believe in what we will call Mariology? Michael Knowles was a little bit flustered by that question and decided to resort to the fullness of the truth can only be found in the Roman Catholic Church. And as soon as you dive into that, you understand that is another difficulty with Roman Catholicism, that they do believe that you can have just enough truth in you to get there. So you're groping. You can believe in a coconut as being God, and you're trying your best. You just don't have the fullness of the truth, which can only be found, according to Roman Catholicism, in the Roman Catholic Church. Let's continue listening to this exchange. Some really good stuff from Charlie Kirk. Other times, I wish he'd been more, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, yeah, more Charlie Kirk-like.
Am I a Christian if I don't believe in transubstantiation?
You are a little confused if you don't believe. But you can have sincere.
No, it's fine.
I wish that he had said, do you believe that I am anathema, as Catholic dogma teaches, courtesy of the Council of Trent, 1542 to 1546? Do you believe that because I believe in grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone, I am anathema? Are you, Michael, in alignment with Roman Catholic dogma? Wish he'd gone that direction.
I think that bringing people to Catholicism is fine. Of course, great, terrific. But
not great, fine, terrific. Unless, of course, he meant, hey, you're really, you know, you're doing your best to bring people into what you believe is right. But if he means it's fine that people promote Roman Catholicism and people become Roman Catholic, a Protestant should never say that. And it's not because we're mean. It's because we are as exclusive as Jesus Christ. If you do not have him right, if you do not have the Father right, if you do not have justification right, if you believe in idolatry, you have no part in the kingdom of God. So this isn't to be mean. It's not to be divisive. The reality is a division has been in place for 500 and some years because of the split of the Protestant Reformation. I wish Charlie had been way stronger about that and modeled, but I can like you, Michael. Now, I'll talk to you all day, every day about Jesus and grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. And Charlie can choose to even do political events with him if he wants to, as long as the distinction is made clear that Protestant and Catholics aren't together. But he was a little more embracing than I think a Protestant should be.
Hopefully a means to the ultimate end. You exist to bring to people to
yes. No, of
Christ.
Course, of course.
And, no, you know, and but, that is the goal. I'm just maybe being semantically, you know.
But think about this question. If what happens when you want to bring people to our Lord? And what happens when there are disagreements over important things? I mean, not... You know,
Jimmy, I'm just wondering, you know, like in a football game, if there's a rules call to be made, they look at, what are they,
the
rule books.
The rule book,
yeah. Rule book. Is there a rule book in Christianity?
I think so. I think it's called the Bible.
Alone.
Schism and say you guys got it wrong. Yeah. Or we do a Reformation.
But you know, we're at Christmas right now. We're at Christmas time. We're talking about St. Nicholas, you know, Santa Claus.
I'm talking about Jesus.
But I'm talking about Santa Claus. There's, before we talk about our Lord, there's a story.
That's interesting. Now, I wouldn't make much of this, but that is interesting. You hear a difference in lingo, don't you? The evangelical says we're talking about Jesus. The Roman Catholic says we're talking about our Lord. So you've got yourself immanence and transcendence, I think, represented there. Just a distinction, at least in the context of this conversation.
Jesus, just focus on the main thing.
But there's this story about St. Nicholas, who the legend, I don't think it's literally true, but the legend goes that St. Nicholas, who Santa Claus is based on, shows up to the Council of Nicaea and he smacks the heresiarch Arius, who denied the divinity of Christ, smacks him in the face. And this has led to a meme that I really like at Christmas, which is an icon of St. Nicholas. And it says, I've come here to give presents to children and to punch heretics in the face. And I'm all out of presents. And so I don't think it really happened, and it would have been a corrective slap and all the rest. But the serious question is, what happens when someone has a question on something really important? Like, is
before he gets into a particular example, another distinction between Roman Catholics and Protestants is the office of the priesthood of all believers. Who makes that call? The answer is you do. Now, you tap into others. We certainly learn from great minds that have come before us. But this is incumbent upon every single believer to be a priest who identifies what is true and what is false. Yep, we've got elders. Yep, we've got church discipline. Yep, we've got councils that we can look back to. But ultimately, it's on you.
Christ God, you know, the divinity of Christ.
Yes.
There has to be an interpretive hermeneutic to figure it out.
Of course, yeah. And look, to be very clear, like 9 out of 10 of Catholic dogmas, evangelicals hold. 9 out of 10.
Got to be careful with that, Charlie. There are a lot of things that we do, of course. Trinitarian doctrine, we would adhere to the virgin birth, although our understanding about the virgin birth is radically different. Well, we believe that Mary was a virgin who gave birth. She did not stay a virgin because she had more children. Furthermore, she was born. She was a perpetual virgin. That's just not what we believe the Bible teaches about Jesus' brothers and sisters. So there are so many differences. Yep, we've got some things in common, just like we do with the Eastern Orthodox, but there is so much division. And to say I'm afraid that we're any closer today than we were 500 years ago, we're not.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Yeah. And that is why I believe Catholics are Christian. Even though you don't give me that same sort of charity.
Okay, see there, I would be a little bit more precise with my language. There are definitely people in the Roman Catholic system who can be saved, but it's despite the Roman Catholic dogmas, not because of them.
Well, I would. No, I'm giving you a hard time. And I mean that, again, if you are a Catholic who loves Jesus, therefore, and I know that, and just, I believe.
There's more than that. The Christian faith is bigger than just you dig Jesus or you believe in Jesus. There are many other doctrines that must be affirmed or you are considered outside of the faith.
There are personally some fundamental issues with, like I say, Mariology, transubstantiation,
yes,
which we're not going to get into. But the biggest one is the papacy. I can't get
over. No, it's big, but it's not really the biggest one. Nevertheless, I wish he'd open those distinctions up more, because if he did, I think Charlie would have to conclude, you know what I said about Catholics being Christians? I think I better retract that. And I think I better define that better.
For the idea of this Marxist who calls himself the head of your church being a representation of Christ our Lord. I mean that as someone who loves the Catholic impact on the world.
I'll affirm that too. But the Pope, it's far more than him being a Marxist, because the fellow before him wasn't. But we should have the exact same attitude toward the man who holds that office. It is leading people into deception. It keeps people in bondage. The yoke of the Roman Catholic Church, it is very heavy because it's a work righteous system. So we don't object to the Pope because, well, we don't like this one. No, it's because of what it is. The vicar of Christ, the head of the church. I don't care who holds that office. You usurp what belongs to Jesus alone. And I'm sorry, you are not being biblical.
That says it openly, and but by what, the fruit you will know it. And you have very Marxist fruit.
But what, I guess my sort of last question on
is
your evangelization
last question,
is...
No, evangelism what, or evangelization?
But both.
Okay.
What happens when we get the next Pope? Can we pull you over then? You know, what if we get like...
Who decided that?
Exactly. I mean, John Paul II was amazing. I just think that there is a question to be asked of why is that specific process, that mechanism, given more merit than, let's just say, the local church and or the word of God?
Or the priesthood of all believers. That's a unique Protestant doctrine.
Say, okay, interpretation, you know...
Final resolution to...
Fine, no, that's fine. I asked the question, if you are all in on, you know, the papacy and the Vatican, no practicing Catholic can look and say, this is the best that my religion has to offer. No,
Charlie.
No, that's to miss the point, I'm afraid. Whatever his political worldview is, that's just peanuts compared to his theological ideology, which puts him into the sandals of Jesus Christ alone and usurps the role of the head of the church. And I know that this particular Pope, he claims to be humble, but when you have people kissing his ring when they approach him sitting on a throne, this is a man that is anything but humble. The Protestant reformers, they understood this. Google Pope, reformers, Antichrist, and you're going to have plenty of reading to do until next Christmas because they wrote about it regularly. But it's not just the office of the papacy. It's the treasures of heaven being stored up in the merits of others that you can purchase or contribute to through your own works. And that, according to the Apostle Paul, not the Council of Trent, to according to the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians, that person who believes works must contribute to salvation is anathema. So what would I say to Michael Knowles? I think that I know exactly what I'd ask him. Michael, would you consider yourself to be a good person? This is Wretched Radio.